And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I don't know what the weather was like in your neck of the woods, but if you had some nice weather, as we did here in Virginia, in Southeast Virginia, it was beautiful. Got a chance to get out in the woods, did a little shooting, and just generally enjoyed myself and got some of that rest in that I promised you I'm going to start taking. So I got a little of that in, too. So I hope you had a wonderful time. Hope you got to church. We had church services, had visitors from around the area come, and we had just a wonderful time. Talked, of course, about Thanksgiving and the fact that the Bible says in everything give thanks. And I said that doesn't mean for everything give thanks, because some things are not from God, some things are from the devil. But in every situation, we thank God, because we know God is the one who's going to bring us out, no matter how bad it may look at any given moment, that God will turn the curse into a blessing, that God will bring grace out of a difficult, dangerous situation. He always does, and we just trust him to do that. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are the called according to his purpose. We got that scripture displayed prominently in our facility, because that to me says it all. No matter what you're going through, no matter what challenges you're facing, God will work it out for your good. Just trust him to do so. And of course, part of my thesis was, don't wait until everything's worked out to be thankful. Be thankful now. Thank God now, because he's already worked it out. He worked it out for you before the foundation of the world, because he loves you. He loves you with an unfathomable, unspeakable, infinite love. He loves you as if you were the only person in the universe. That's how profound, how deep the love of God is. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what things look like. That's only what they look like. The reality is that God is moving powerfully behind the scenes to make sure that everything works out for your good. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanksgiving's coming up on Thursday. Aren't you glad to live in a country where we actually celebrate thanking God for what he's done? I know people have tried to turn Thanksgiving into Turkey Day and thanking the Native Americans. No disrespect meant to the Native Americans, but no, we're not thanking the Native Americans. We are thanking God for his goodness toward us, his goodness toward our nation, his goodness toward our families and all of that. And speaking of that, by the way, antithetical to everything I've just expressed about how wonderful our country is, we do have these petty tyrants who have reared their ugly heads, and I mean that metaphorically, of course. I'm not making a comment about their actual looks, but have reared their ugly heads to basically dictate to the American people what you can and cannot do over the holidays. And so, for example, I'm sure you know that in Oregon, the governor of Oregon, Governor Brown, has said you may not have more than 6 people in your home for Thanksgiving dinner. But here's the kicker. If you have more than 6 people, you are subject to a $1,250 fine and up to 30 days in jail. And she is encouraging neighbors to be on the lookout for those who might be violating the policy. Yeah. In other words, she's asked neighbors to spy on each other. Now, first of all, how exactly does she want you to do that? Do you have binoculars and count the cars as they come up and see how many people get out of the cars and go into the house? And once you pass the number 6, once you get to 7, you pick up the phone, call 911. There's a violation taking place next door. You must come immediately and arrest these lawbreakers. I mean, is that the way it works? And, of course, sometimes that's very difficult to know, because people may come in different ways, park in different places, and you might lose track. So you might not know. So maybe the best way to do it is to go up to your neighbor's window, look inside and count the heads at the Thanksgiving dinner table. That's probably the best way to do it. That way you can be accurate. And when you see seven, you know, okay, it's time to call the cops. Now, remember, this is the state that didn't want to call the cops while they were setting up their own little enclave without police, and they were demanding defunding the police and telling the police this is a no police zone. And I was just going stark raving mad, completely lawless. But now, if you've got more than six people at dinner for Thanksgiving, now we know what the role of the police is. The role of the police is to police your Thanksgiving dinner and to make sure that you are not violating the governor's edict, the so-called law. And I don't think it's a law. I think it's based upon her interpretation of her emergency powers as she's implemented this policy now. And keep this in mind that it's this six. Now, is that six including babies? I mean, would a baby be six and a half and get you over the threshold so that you get locked up now? I'm just trying to understand exactly what the policy is because, you know, after all, if we're going to start dining on our neighbors and getting people arrested, we just want to make sure that, you know, the little three-month-old baby constitutes a full person under this law, right? So once it's six plus the little baby, that's it. Seven, lock them up. You know, I know it sounds absurd because it really is. Now, I've heard some sheriffs and police say, we're not going to arrest anybody for having more than six people in their own home. I mean, by the way, folks, you know, you've heard me say this repeatedly, and it just keeps getting confirmed. These people are communists. They really are. They are communists. Now, they may not be communists with a big C. I'm not suggesting that they're members of the Communist Party. In fact, I just started a new book by Thomas Sowell called Intellectuals in Society. And in this book, Thomas Sowell points out that people can hold ideas without even knowing where they've come from or being conscious of the origins of those ideas. So he said there are many people with Marxist thought and philosophy who don't know that they are Marxists, but they've imbibed these ideas. I don't know whether this governor knows she's a Marxist, but this whole idea of getting people to spy on their neighbors, that is straight out of the communist playbook. That's what every communist society does. I mean, in some cases, they call them information providers. Was it Germany or Russia? They worked with the Stasi, the secret police, and they would go to them and tell people in order to ingratiate themselves to the party, tell people they heard their neighbor say something that they thought was counter-revolutionary. This stuff is chilling. It really is. And, you know, yeah, and the people were encouraged to denounce their neighbors, and they were encouraged to provide to advance their own careers and get special privileges from the party by being unofficial informants or political cooperators. They call them political cooperators. Is this what America's coming to? Is this where we're going? Not on my watch. I trust not on yours either. This is nuts. Frankly, that's too mild. This is evil. Can you imagine watching my neighbor's home? Let me see how many people are over there. Oh, I think there's seven. Pick up the phone, darling. Call the police. There's lawlessness going on next door. I mean, Lord have mercy on us. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Before Thanksgiving and Christmas push the election from our minds, we need to remind ourselves how wildly inaccurate polling organizations were in 2020. We should recognize that political polling has always been an inaccurate science. Kristen Soltis Anderson reminds us that in 1936, Literary Digest declared Alf Landon would be the next president. The Gallup organization that year got it right, only to later be embarrassed by being on the wrong side of the Dewey defeats Truman upset. 4 years ago, the pollsters did not predict that Donald Trump would defeat Hillary Clinton. We were sure that they caught their mistakes and would be more accurate this time. A few hours into the election night, it was obvious that these pollsters were wrong not only with the presidential race, but with the races for U.S. Senate along with the races for state legislatures. Back in 2012, the polls were off because pollsters didn't call enough cell phones. Then in 2016, they were off because they missed voters without college degrees. This time, the critics said they were missing the shy Trump voters. But in a previous commentary, I mentioned that most pollsters denied this group even existed. And the argument might work for the presidential race, but it certainly can't explain why there was no huge blue wave for the House, Senate, and state legislatures. Another argument being used is the Trump factor. He is a polarizing figure in American politics. That may explain why the presidential polls were accurate in Maine and South Carolina, but it fails to explain why the polls were so far off in the Senate contest in those states. While the pollsters are trying to figure all this out, I have a recommendation for you. Don't trust the polls. Perhaps they will fix their survey techniques over time, but we don't have to listen to them until they do. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Hi, I'm John Sorensen, president of Evangelism Explosion, and this is Share Life Today on American Family Radio. Have you stopped to thank God for today? Well, what about this year? I know that this year quickly has become, well, quite a mess. It's been easy to focus on the bad and to forget the blessings that God has surrounded us with. But the Bible tells us that we're to give thanks in all things, even in 2020, because no matter what your struggle is or specific circumstance, God is good all the time. In fact, we're promised in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So before you say another word or carry on about your busy to-do list, thank God. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for the purpose that He has given you, and thank Him that He is sovereign above our circumstance. If you'd like other resources to help you in your Christian walk, visit our website at sharelife.today. That's sharelife.today.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, if this makes you feel any better, you should know that the governor's assured everybody that this is no big deal. It would be just like calling the police if your neighbor's having a party and the music is too loud. It's just too noisy. So you call the police. And it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. People are dining for Thanksgiving in the quiet and peace of their own homes, and you want us to figure out whether they might be violating your little dictatorial edict, and if so, we call the police. It's not the same. You know, I thought about that, too. My wife and I lived in another town, different from where we've lived the last several years. And the houses were a little bit closer together. And we had a neighbor who liked to have parties, particularly during the summer. They had a pool in their backyard. They liked to have parties during the summer. And sometimes, they would be blasting the music. Just blasting it. And you know what? As long as it wasn't a problem, I never called the police. What do I care? I mean, you know, that's freedom. And it wasn't like it was going into the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and music is blasting all over the neighborhood. You might have had several people calling if that was the case. But I mean, this, just leave people alone. Let them live. And I think most people will be considerate of their neighbors without having to call the police, even in a circumstance like that. Now, that's not always true, I know. But I think in most cases it is. And I just thought about the fact that I had a neighbor who used to play loud music at certain times. I never called the police. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. It was no big deal. But apparently she wants you to spy on your neighbor and call the cops. And by the way, you know, of course, CDC has recommended people not even travel anyway. Don't go anywhere. And 2 million people are going to travel to see their loved ones. I won't be doing that for Thanksgiving because I don't usually travel for Thanksgiving. Usually family comes to us. But I am going to be traveling within the next couple of weeks to see my mother. I'm not thinking, you know, who cares what these people are saying? Look, I'm looking at the data. You know, right now we've got 12.3 million cases of coronavirus, 12.3 million cases. And that constitutes about 4% of the American population, right? About 4%, because about 3.3%, 3.3 million would be 1%. So that constitutes approximately 4%. 4% of the entire population have had it. And by the way, now I can speak as a kind of expert, having actually had it. Yes. So I'm now on the other side of having had it. So now people can't say, well, you don't understand because you've never experienced. No, I have. My wife and I both had it. So now I can speak with some authority about it. I'm one of those 12.3 million people. So is my wife. And I'm sure all of you listening to me probably know somebody who's had it. Folks, in 6 months, that's 4% of the population. And you mean to tell me we're going to shut down 96% of the population because of the 4% that have contracted the disease? Now, mind you, 4% contracted the disease, 4% tested positive. Doesn't mean 4% went to the hospital. Doesn't mean 4% died. That just means my wife and I never went to the hospital. My wife and I never needed any special medical treatment. We just had to quarantine ourselves and rest. And that's it. Over it. And that's the case for most people. In fact, of the 12.3 million people who've gotten it, there have been, of course, 257,000 deaths. As of course, every death is tragic. It means someone has lost a loved one. We do know that most of those deaths are skewed in the very aged, and with almost three comorbidities per death. In other words, most of the people who die on average, that is, on average, the people who die from COVID have three additional comorbidities. You know, heart disease, lung disease, emphysema, extreme diabetes. And they've got some kind of problem, several problems that are potentially life-threatening in and of themselves. So we're going to shut down the whole economy? Because we've got 4% of the people have actually contracted the disease and 96% have not. And of that 4% that have contracted the disease, only 2% of those people, now not 2% of the population, just 2% of the people who've actually tested positive, 2% of those find it fatal. And we know who those 2% are for the most part. There may be some exceptions, but we know, assuming that we can trust the data that we're seeing and it's not inflated with motorcycle accidents and all kinds of other stuff. And here again, and I don't mean to minimize this in any way, and I don't mean to suggest that we should not take appropriate and responsible steps to protect ourselves from it in any way. I don't mean to suggest that. What I've said this repeatedly. You all probably tired of hearing me say it. Well, you can't stop living. We can't stop life. You got to keep going. And you got these governors and these mayors who think they can just shut everything down. Just shut everything down. We're going to impose curfews. We're going to close the restaurants. We're going to close everything. And I'll tell you, I think the long-term consequences of this are going to be far more devastating than COVID itself. I'm serious. I really do. I think that the long-term consequences of all these shutdowns, as the president has said repeatedly, are making the cure worse than the disease. So, you know, that's where we are. People are going to travel anyway. Not as many as last year. Apparently 5 million people traveled this year. So that's quite a drop. That's only 20% of the people who traveled last year are going to travel this year, 20% of that number. But nevertheless, people are deciding for themselves that they're going to get on airplanes and they're going to go see mama or dad or grandma or whoever, and that's their right. That's their business. That's what they can do. In fact, they say an airplane, because of the way they circulate the air now and people wearing masks, is a very, very safe situation. They say in the terminals where people are just kind of milling around and not always practicing social distancing, less so. But, you know, I've been flying all over the place for the last several months, and I know it wasn't on an airplane. It wasn't in an airport. I pretty much narrowed down, you know, what happened, because in the aftermath, I got the report of an outbreak at a place I had been. So, I mean, most of us, we take the appropriate precautions. We do the things that are responsible. Most of us are perfectly safe. I mean, just think about that. 96% of the 330 million people in our country in a six-month period of a pandemic, 96% of the people have not even gotten it, let alone gotten sick, but have not even gotten it. And yet, shut everything down, end everything, close everything, send everybody home. My producer was just saying, so you got people coming over and you count them as they come in. And when you get to number seven, you say, oops, sorry. Nope. No, you, no. Cousin Fred, you got to go. What? You're number seven and it's not the lucky number today. So see you later. I mean, this stuff is just, I tell you, it's crazy. I will be glad when we get past this. That here again, I've asked you all about the vaccines. If these vaccines are effective and they roll out and they help create the herd immunity and we get past this thing, and believe in God that happens, that one way or another we get past it, so that life can go back to normal and people aren't walking on eggshells and listening to this hysteria being propagated by the left to try to scare us all to death and make us think we're all going to die at any moment from COVID. And at the same time, blaming President Trump and not Communist China, who originated this thing. Yeah, it's his fault somehow. Somehow he is what he's done or hasn't done. And you got somebody like Joe Biden who doesn't have the courage of a, I can't think of anything that's got less courage, kowtowing and bowing to the Chinese while they enrich his son, and he acts like they had absolutely nothing to do with COVID. I mean, it's truly disgusting. Speaking of the Chinese, a couple of other things, then we're going to come to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. You all know that the Chinese apparently with this Airbnb, I think it's called Airbnb. And apparently they've been working with the Chinese and giving private information about Americans to the Chinese. And one of their executives resigned over it and said it was wrong. They should not be doing that. And Airbnb has disclosed that they share information, phone numbers, email addresses with the Chinese government. So if you've ever done business with Airbnb, they are likely to have shared your private information with the Communist Chinese government. Folks, I cannot underscore how dangerous this stuff is. Because God forbid, if we ever end up in a conflict with the Communist Chinese, they're going to know a whole lot more about us than we're going to know about them, because they're a closed society and we're an open one, and they're taking full advantage of it. And here's the thing that bothered me most about this, that Airbnb said, we don't exist to promote American values. You know, we've got some traitors in our midst. We really do. People who could care less about the safety and security of the American people. I don't know what they care about. I guess about their own power, their own money, whatever. But we're going to have to tighten up our national security, particularly when it comes to Communist China. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Have you heard about the new preacher who was attending Vacation Bible School at the church? It was the day after the preacher had moved in, and he was going to each of the classes in order to get acquainted with the children. In one class of youngsters, he decided to test their Bible knowledge. He looked at one young boy and asked him a question. "Johnny, do you know who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" The youngster, taken by surprise at the question, shot back his reply. "It sure wasn't me, preacher. I ain't touched them." Well, the new preacher, wishing to discuss the boy's reply with the teacher, turned to speak. But before he could say a word, the teacher was already talking. Now, preacher, Johnny is a good boy. And if he said he didn't do it, then I can promise you he did not do it." There was a pause. Then the teacher addressed the other students in the class. "Did any of you children knock down the walls of Jericho?" One after another, they replied that they did not do it. The preacher was so upset that he turned and walked out of the room. On Sunday night, he had a call meeting with the church and their board to discuss the situation. He reported the incident to the board and asked what they intended to do about it. After a moment of silence, the chairman of the board spoke. "Preacher, we see no point in making a big issue out of this matter. The board will pay for the damages and charge it off to vandalism." And the tale goes that the preacher fainted then and there. Well, the person who isn't familiar with the scriptures has shortchanged himself. For the scriptures do indeed contain the world's greatest source of inspiration and help. A person not versed in scripture has no knowledge of verses such as this one. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Neither would that person be able to gain strength from a verse such as this. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." If a person is mentally and physically tired and has no knowledge of Scripture, he would miss a true source of help in this verse. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The person seeking forgiveness and without knowledge of Scripture would be without this verse. "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." The Bible is a very important book with immeasurable wealth for those who are willing to familiarize themselves with it. Henry Ward Beecher once said, "The Bible is God's chart for you to steer by, to keep you from the bottom of the sea, and to show you where the harbor is, and how to reach it without running on rocks and bars." John Greenleaf Whittier put it in a poem entitled Merriam. It goes like this. "We search the world for truth. We cull the good, the pure, the beautiful, from all old flower fields to the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come back laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read." Do yourself a favor. Acquaint yourself with the scriptures. By the way, who did knock down the walls of Jericho?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
You all are welcome to weigh in on this whole election debacle. I'm not sure at this point what to make of it. We'll see. We just continue to pray. But if you want to weigh in on that, feel free. I'm not sure at this point. I see fracturing in the Republican side of this, and that's not a good thing. So we'll just believe in God for a miracle in which the truth emerges. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Apparently, voting doesn't necessarily do that anymore when you got a bunch of people who are willing to do almost anything to get their way. So we just hope that the courts will sort this all out and reveal the truth of what has actually gone on. And I think the truth is is ugly. I really do. I think the truth is ugly because the level of hatred for this president is so irrational and so deep and so emotional that I think, like their communist predecessors, I think the people opposing him would say by any means necessary. By any means necessary. In other words, it doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you get the outcome that you desire. So let me hit a couple of cultural things, and then I'm going to come to your calls. I'm sure you all noticed, probably through your feeds, you probably saw it on the internet, but there are many critical accolades, acclaim. There's much critical acclaim being heralded for Hallmark, in which they're calling the best Christmas movie they've ever made, because it's built around two homosexual men. You know, all I'll say is this. I think most Americans feel like live and let live. Everybody just, you know, live the way you want to live. I think what Americans really object to, I think overwhelmingly object to, but won't say it because at this point you've got such a totalitarian system built up by the LGBTQ Gestapo that if you say the wrong thing, you could lose your job, you could have your business destroyed. People, you know, there was a time, for example, when I was on Fox News 2 or 3 times a week, and suddenly that stopped. And I am absolutely convinced it stopped because, not because my commentary changed, but because the LGBTQ Gestapo said, we don't want him on because he's anti-gay, whatever that means. No, I'm pro-Christian, I'm pro-American, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-marriage, as the Bible defines it. And the rest is just their own little propagandistic concoction to try to smear me and people like me. But that's sadly where we're going right now. And it's too bad that Hallmark has bought into this perverse propaganda. Teen Vogue has just put out a cover in which they say America's values are white supremacy and capitalism. That's what is now driving and being given to our young people. America is defined, its values are defined as white supremacy and capitalism. You know, this stuff is so pernicious. It's just really got to be challenged. It's got to be challenged directly. And I give you my word, folks, I am going to be challenging this in a very, very direct way because there's no future for our country in this kind of propaganda being sowed into the hearts and minds of our young people and giving them more of a reason to hate our country and to want to destroy it than to be thankful for it, grateful for it, proud of it, and want to continue to create a more perfect union. So, but Teen Vogue, thank you very much. And by the way, speaking of the cultural stuff, AOC is so happy that Harry Styles, whoever he is, because I don't know, is on the cover of Vogue, not Teen Vogue, but Vogue, wearing a dress. And she just thinks that that's just absolutely wonderful. Oh, it's just, you know. Has anybody read the Bible that says, when a man puts on the dress of a woman, it's an abomination to God? I mean, does that matter to anybody? No, of course not. Of course not. We just haven't come into the modern era. We're not sophisticated enough to quite get it. let's get to your calls. I put enough on the table, and you may want to add some things to it. Let's go to Joni in Alabama. Joni, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. It's so good to hear your voice, so healthy and happy.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, yeah, I was watching the rally in Georgia this weekend quite a while, and I noticed a couple of leaders say something that really, really set my teeth on edge. And they were encouraging the people at the rally not to vote, to boycott the Senate runoff election because the voting machines were rigged. And I thought, that's really strange. So I just didn't think about it again. And then I read a Newsweek magazine article talking about people, pro-Trump people, they said, going on Parler and discouraging people from voting, saying boycott the runoff. It says, do not vote in the Georgia runoff. The deep state will be collecting everyone's information This is a charade meant to identify people who don't vote Democrat. Another one said, stay home, Ossoff, and Warnock are a small price to pay. These are supposed to be pro-Trump people, but I think they're actually moles. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Joni, I am glad you raised that issue. I had not heard that, to be honest. I just did. But that's crazy. And I think you're right. I think that's got to be moles, people who are trying to discourage and suppress the vote in behalf of those Republicans and conservatives running in Georgia. And that is the worst advice in the world. And I hope that no conservative, no Republican buys into that. They realize you got to vote. You can fight out the count later. But first and foremost, you got to get the vote in there. You got to get the vote counted. You stay home, you forfeit, you abdicate. And we cannot possibly afford to do that. Look, if Democrats have control of the White House, the Senate, and the House, even if a small margin, I can't. The damage that they're going to do is absolutely immeasurable. I mean, it really is. So I hope nobody's buying into that, Joni. But, whoa, thanks for the alarm. And thanks for everybody hearing that. And I hope everybody letting your loved ones know, if you don't live in Georgia, letting them know, no. Don't let anybody convince you not to vote. Every single conservative has got to go out and vote your Christian values and vote against these nutcases that are running right now on the Democrat side, who, if they win, will turn things over to Chuck Schumer and ultimately Kamala Harris. Because I think if they win both, then it'll be a tie vote and Kamala Harris will break the tie. So Joni, thank you for the call. Let's see. Okay. Let's go. Thank you, Joni. Let's go to Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Bishop. So many things, but I'll keep it brief and let you respond. One was the aspect where you're talking about how that the Marxist ideology can be taken upon someone, or they kind of take it in, they may be practicing that and not really realizing that's what it is, mm-hmm. or calling it for what it is. That's the same approach that a lot of the people about white supremacy, critical race theory, and those kind of things that say have been embedded in white America, in our culture, and that we're actually a racist culture. We just don't know it. And I'll let you comment on that. But another one was, I was sitting at my desk the other day, and I heard a gentleman across the way say, here's a guy on Newsweek, a pastor claims he could never get the coronavirus and that he would not get the coronavirus. It's E.W. Jackson. And at that point, I didn't know that you had been affected. I knew you were away from the desk, but I didn't know that's the reason why. So I immediately go to find out, you know, what's going on. But I was like, okay, let me see actually what he said. But see, the whole thing was they just got the headline and a couple of opening statements. But they didn't follow through with your comment about, you know, there's nothing wrong with believing in God. So I'll let you comment.
Amen. Wow. Jeff, I got to go. But listen, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate both comments. I'll respond to them on the other side. Back in a moment.
Hi, this is Dr. Stephen Rummage with Moving Forward Radio, and now you can get our 2021 wall calendar for a gift of any amount. Call 888-724-5715 now to get your copy. Each month features scripture and devotional thoughts with full-color pictures of God's creation that will encourage you during these challenging times. Get your copy of this beautiful wall calendar for a gift of any amount today by calling 888-724-5715 or go to movingforwardcalendar.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Pursue God and not a guy.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Cheryl Martin has a challenge for single women.
He wanted us to have a relationship with him first before we have a healthy relationship with a man. Many of us are getting it backwards. We put God on the back burner when we meet a man, and then we can't handle what he's dishing out. We're looking for him to fill that vacuum that only God could fill. He wanted to present to a man a whole woman. I'm not looking for my other half.
That's right.
It takes two whole eggs to make an omelet. If one egg is rotten, you got a rotten omelet.
More from Cheryl at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back, and the last caller raised a couple of questions that I wanted to make sure I respond to, and then I'll come right back to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. The first was, he raised the question, which is really a great question. Well, Bishop Jackson, what's the difference between you saying that many of these liberals have imbibed Marxist ideas and don't know it, and they're saying that we conservatives are racist and don't know it? Here's the distinction, empirical evidence. Because when they say you are unconsciously biased, when they say you are a product of or a beneficiary of white supremacy, they offer no proof, okay? No proof that the individual, I mean, some poor kid born in Appalachia, born to a broken home, maybe born to a mother who's hooked up on methamphetamine, or born into a broken home where the parent, the mother's trying to make ends meet, maybe collecting welfare, that somehow that kid is a beneficiary of white privilege and advantage over my children who were born to educated parents into an affluent home, never lived in the inner city, always lived in the suburbs, were safe, never missed a meal, never lacked for anything, and all of that. That somehow my youngest daughter, for example, who visited outside the country, it was the only country I've gone to outside of America, is Canada and Israel. But my youngest daughter, when she was in high school, we sent her to Paris with her class. Now, she happens to be a young lady of African ancestry. She's an American, first and foremost. But the idea that somehow some kid born in very difficult circumstances who happens to have lighter skin, happens to be maybe a descendant of some European extraction, Italian, Irish, you name it, German. We got a lot of people of German ancestry in our country, that somehow he's better off and he's advantaged over my daughter. Well, that's preposterous. So the point is, there's no evidentiary basis. You just basically say it, and everybody's supposed to bow to it and accept it, okay? And when I say, though, they are espousing Marxist ideas, you can trace it, you can track it. This idea, for example, that everybody ought to have a guaranteed income, where's that come from? That comes directly from Karl Marx. This idea that the rich have too much and we need to take that from them, where's that come from? That comes directly from Karl Marx. these the notions of equality that they espouse. There's no such thing as equality in the sense of reality. God loves us all equally. But come on. I wasn't born to Bill Gates' family, okay? And some other poor child wasn't born to the Jackson family. I mean, the only thing we can do is to come close to an approximate of equality of opportunity. And even that we can't do perfectly because the world is not an equal, fair place. But each individual can seek to rise above his or her circumstances and to do things with their lives that far transcend what their background might necessarily indicate. That's the nature of freedom, which is really much, much more important than notions of equality, because notions of equality are often used to create totalitarian governments to force people to conform to what they think every person ought to be. And we see that here again. So there's empirical evidence. There's an evidentiary basis for saying that the left is doing that, even if they don't consciously acknowledge it. And of course, the other thing is we know some do. Some do, right? I mean, like Patrice Cullor said, we are trained Marxists. Black Lives Matter founder, we are trained Marxists. And we know that, for example, Anita Dunn, who was the communications director for Barack Obama, said one of the people that she turns to in times of turmoil, in times of confusion, is Mao Zedong. So there is a stark difference in terms of the evidentiary basis that I have for saying these people are Marxists, they are communists, they are socialists, and somebody saying, well, America's racist, America's white supremacist, America's this, that, and the other, and they have absolutely no basis, no evidentiary basis for saying other. Now, they can point to trends and say, oh, look at all the black people in prison. Yeah, but look at the crime rate in the inner city. But no, you can't do that. No, it's all racism. Well, yeah, okay. You see what I'm saying? So they have no real evidentiary basis for the claims, these broad condemning claims that they make against our country, whereas there's plenty of evidence to prove that they do in fact come out of a Marxist orientation. All right, I hope that answers the question, and I hope that that clarifies. Oh, you know what? Oh, my goodness gracious. Real quick, I said that I didn't have it. I wasn't going to get it because I was believing God and I was praying. And then when I finally got it, of course, I went to God and said, Lord, where did I miss it? Because I said, here's point number one. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. And of course, where I missed it was I was run down. I was just completely run down, working 7 days a week, hadn't taken any vacation, just wouldn't quit, wouldn't stop, telling my wife, you know, I got to get some rest. I got to get some rest. But I didn't get any. So opportunistic infections take advantage of that. And that's true for Christians as well as anybody else. I never said no Christian couldn't get it. They accused me of that, but I never said that because, of course, we live in a fallen world. The Bible says no temptation, trial, tribulation has befallen you, but such as is common to man. Okay, so the stuff that happens to other people can, in fact, happen to us. The difference is we believe God for our protection, and if we find ourselves in a bad situation, we believe God for our deliverance. Let me say one last thing, and I'm going to come right back to the calls. The attacks on me were not about saying, well, gee, I'm confused because Bishop Jackson, you know, confessed by faith that he was going to be protected by God and then he got it. So I need to have that explained. I need to understand that. And that's what I've just done. Explained that, look, my faith isn't perfect and my behavior isn't perfect. I wish it were, but it's not. Only Jesus is. Only Jesus was when he walked the earth. And so what we do is we just go as far as stretch our faith as far as we can get it. But the people who attacked me not because they were looking for answers, but because they don't want anybody to believe in God. And they wanted to use me to say, see, instead he should be following the science. And he's talking about faith in God. He's talking about God protecting him. Well, then they also have to deal with this. It's like I say, God will protect me. I say, God will heal me. And here I am, healthy, happy, in all of my resplendent glory. To God be the glory. I know they don't like that. They were hoping I was going to die. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going anywhere until God is finished with me. Hallelujah. The number is 888-589-8840. Thank you all for your patience. Let me come back to you. Let's go to Marie in Louisiana. Marie, welcome.
Oh, I'm glad you're okay. You better take care of yourself. I'm 61. I still haven't had the COVID. I eat as healthy as I can. I take a couple of vitamins. I'm praying God will let the truth be revealed, and I hope Trump moved the Israeli embassy to Jerusalem. The Bible says, I will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. I'm not wanting AOC and Biden to be cursed. I am praying to God that he opens their eyes and lets them see the truth. And I also want to say, most politicians have access to our money, and they are not held accountable for spending our money. They're spending it the way I don't like it. How can we hold them accountable? I mean, in the end, God's going to hold everybody accountable. How can we do something?
All right, Marie. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I got to try to get some other callers in here. Look, the ballot box is the best way to do that, and activism is the best way to do that. Let them know that you're watching them and that the things that they do, you are going to hold them accountable for. Thank you for the call, Marie. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee.
Hey, praise the Lord. You're well. I'm so thankful. And I just wanted to say I've got three kids with me that stomp and scream and fuss and roll their eyes when they don't get what they want. And I feel the same way with Trump. I'm wondering if these people actually hate him so much, or are these new world orders so angry that they're not getting what they want right now, and they want Trump to give up, and he's going to stand strong, I pray, praying for him, and not give up. They think that they're lying and telling people that we can make a utopia here. But we won't have utopia till we get to heaven. And that Animal Farm scenario where some are more equal than others, if you listen to them, they're already saying that they want to be at the top. So they actually want to be the ones making us their slaves and making us accountable to them if we get food. Lastly, God gave us a Sabbath for a reason, because he wants us to rest. And God bless you all. Thank you for taking our call.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. I won't add a thing to that. You said it. Thank you. Let's get to Tommy in Virginia. Tommy, welcome.
Yes, this is Tommy. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I had one question for this idiot mayor that's imposing this less than six people. What about families that have more than six people already living in the household? What are they going to do? They going to flip a coin and make little Johnny sit out in the garage while they're eating or something? Or, bring them a turkey sandwich later on? What's going on with that?
Yeah, Tommy, it's a governor, by the way. It's Governor Brown. So she's imposing this on the whole state, not just the city, the whole state. And you're right. And by the way, why is six the magic number? I mean, what did she do, some sort of algorithm or calculation and say, yeah, six is the number where you won't get it? And why isn't it seven? Why isn't it eight? I mean, these people are just, they are so arrogantly sold on their own superior wisdom and knowledge that they think the best thing that can happen for all of us is to be obedient to them. It's just like what the prior caller said. They want us all to be their slaves. You know, they're always running around talking about slavery. But you want slavery? Bring socialism to bear, and it'll turn all of us into slaves. And so, folks, that's not going to happen in America. We're not going to allow it. We're free. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you all so much for your calls. I've enjoyed talking to you, of course, and we're back again tomorrow. So please tune in then. And in the meantime, remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.